Hello, welcome to the Christ Community Church Sermon Podcast. Christ Community is a multi-site church in the Chicago suburbs. Thank you for joining us today. I hope that God uses it to help you take the next step in your relationship with Him. Enjoy the message.
Well, a couple of years ago, my son and I went to the Mint in Philadelphia. It's a great way to kill a few hours in Philadelphia, if you've already seen the Liberty Bell and the Independence Hall and all of those things. It's the oldest mint in the nation. It's been making coins for 2 centuries. Kind of a cool little quote there, or fact there. And going to the Mint with a 20-year-old is a completely different experience. It can be summed up in his comment on the way out when he said, "I don't think I've touched a coin maybe ever." And yet, I have a coin that is incredibly valuable to me, and I brought it with me today. Now, it is not of value because of the actual face value. It's of value because it means something to me. If I lost it, I would be really, really sad. In fact, even the fact that it's in my pocket right now and not in the place where it belongs is freaking me out a little bit this weekend. It's my Aldi quarter. Now, I'm guessing that many of you are identifying with this right now, right? When my son says he has never touched a coin, I have a coin that I touch multiple times a week. You Aldi shoppers, you know it. You know what I'm talking about. This is that quarter. This is the quarter that sits in the cup holder of my car and has a very specific job. It unlocks the cart at Aldi so that I can actually go grocery shopping. And for you non-Aldi shoppers, it does pop back out of the cart when I return the cart after shopping. Now, somebody told me I should always leave it in the cart. No, this is my Aldi quarter, guys. This is mine. This is not a pretty quarter. It's actually pretty beat up, it's scratched, and it's pretty dirty. But what if I walked into a coin collector's convention? Now, I'm assuming that there are coin collector conventions. And I proudly gave this quarter to someone who was missing one quarter in a rare, pristine, never-touched set of silver-proof quarters. I would get laughed out of the convention. They would look at me like I was absolutely crazy and try to explain to me why, in a very condescending coin collecting tone, why this dirty, used, common Aldi quarter is never making it into a pristine set of quarters. This quarter is functional, but it's not flawless. It's not going in one of those sets because it is functional, but it is not flawless. Now, we have been in a series this summer where we've marveled at who God is. The first half of the summer, we talked about his incommunicable attributes. He's omnipotent. I'm not. He's self-sufficient. I'm not. He is omnipresent and omniscient, and I'm not. He's unchanging. I'm not. And then we've been talking about his communicable attributes, those attributes of God that we image to the world as best we can. I can be wise, I can be loving, I can be just. So today we're going to cover an attribute that you might think belongs in the first half of the summer, because it can feel a bit more incommunicable than it does communicable. And that's holiness. God is holy. No other attribute is joined to the name of God with greater frequency than holiness. And if I ask the kids in Kids World, what does holiness mean? What does holy mean? We've got some pretty smart kids. Chances are they would say it means set apart, or they would say it means perfect. And they would be thinking about moral purity, which is likely what a lot of you are thinking right now. But to make it even more intense, the Bible doesn't just say that God is holy. It says that he is holy, holy, holy. Not just one holy, but the adjective used to describe his holiness is holy. And then the modifier for that is holy again. It's like saying perfectly perfect perfection. And that is supposed to be communicable, transmittable, something that we can reflect to the world. And it feels impossible to live up to that standard. I feel like my Aldi quarter, I'm functional, but I'm not flawless. And yet God says in Leviticus 4 times, be holy because I am holy. Unless we think this is an Old Testament command, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that we are supposed to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, if you've got your Bible with you today, turn with me to 1 Peter 1. We're gonna look at verses 13 through 16 because once again, we hear reference to God's call for Christ followers to be holy because I am holy. We're gonna start in verse 13. It says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Let's thank God for speaking to us through his word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, if I were teaching on the Bible Savvy podcast, I would say, you know what I noticed? I noticed the word holy. We're not getting out of this one. God says this is absolutely a communicable attribute for us. So we have to look deeper into how it works out. But looking at ourselves first and how this attribute works out in our lives when it comes to studying an attribute of God rarely gives us the whole picture. So we're gonna zoom out and we're gonna talk about three types of holiness today. The first type of holiness we're gonna talk about is perfect holiness, perfect holiness. Verse 16 says, be holy because I am holy. It says the reason to be holy is because God is holy. So in order to do that, we need to understand what it means that God is holy. I mentioned that we generally think of holiness as moral perfection. We say set apart, and we think of that in terms of our morality. We say things like, he's acting holier than thou. And we determine our holiness based upon how we think we measure up to the people around us. But perfect morality is a pretty flat picture of what perfect holiness is. When the concept of perfect holiness as a descriptor of God is actually this deep, beautiful picture of something that should draw us in and make us desire to be holy. Holiness in the Bible is used as a distinction. It's used to show that God is separate from everything else, not just set apart morally, which he is. He is completely incorruptible, but in a class of his own, none like him, unique and different and distinct. Now, we rarely encounter things that we consider holy in our daily lives, at least not to that kind of level. But there is one thing that we encounter, or at least aware of, most every day that comes kind of close. It's that giant ball of gases and flames in the sky that produces this lovely heat that we had the past couple of weeks. It's the sun. The sun is holy. It's the only one in our solar system. There's nothing else like it in our solar system. Within our solar system, the sun is set apart. It is utterly unique. It is distinct. It sustains life for us. My tomatoes are ripening because the sun has been shining on them. Without the sun, we don't exist. So I think we would say we like the sun. But that doesn't mean the sun is safe. Do you guys remember the solar eclipse in April of 2024? We needed special glasses just to look at the sun from here on Earth. We like the sun, but the sun is not your buddy. You can't just go hug the sun. It will kill you. It will roast you. And it isn't because the sun is bad. It's because we're simply puny humans. We are not prepared to face the holy, distinct, raw energy and power that the sun produces. And this is what makes it holy. It gives us life, but if we try to come too close without somehow preparing ourselves, it will destroy our lives. We love the sun, but we revere the sun as something to be respected because we know that it's holy. So if God is telling us he's holy and we need to be holy, but you're telling me I can't be buddies with the sun, how do I do this? Well, we have a problem, and the problem is that only the holy can be with the holy. There's protocol for something that is so set apart. There's protocol to approach it. To look at the eclipse, we have to put on special glasses. To even get near the sun, it takes a special unmanned satellite coded in some kind of space age technology. In the Old Testament, to get into the presence of a holy God, it took cleansing and ritual and sacrifice. You couldn't just be buddies with him and approach the holy God in your unholiness. And yet God tells us to be holy because he is holy. And we can be confident that God would not give us a charge without a solution. But there must be a solution. Because as much as we may protest about the difficulty, even the impossibility of being holy, as much as we may use the phrase holier than thou in a way that pokes fun or implies that it's a less than desirable trait, or we get upset at the thought of God's holiness judging our holiness, we actually don't want a God that doesn't care about our impurities. We don't want a God that's morally corrupt. We actually want to be with the holy God who loves perfectly and is perfectly just and is perfectly right. We want a holy God who is completely pure and completely powerful and exposes what's wrong and actually does something about it. And God so longed for us. He so longed for us that he did something about it. In his perfect holiness, he looked at the mess we made of our world and our lives, and he made sacrifice for it. And this is where we get to the second type of holiness. The sacrifice God made for us gives us positional holiness. So we had to postpone a huge event in Kids World at the St. Charles South Elgin campus this week. It's happening on Tuesday now, and we're calling it the Family Masterpiece. And so now on Tuesday, it's gonna get messy. Mini ice cream sundaes made in kids' hands, families digging through cooked spaghetti and sauce to find golf balls, slime making, finger painting, Play-Doh, you can't cancel your registration. If you're already registered, you're in. Sand and rice tables, shaving cream up to the kids' armpits. All the stuff their parents won't let them do at home. It will be amazing. Kids are gonna be messy and sticky and happy. And at the end of the event, all of their parents and grandparents will take them home and they will clean them up. We didn't have to make a plan for this event in case parents decide they just don't want to take their messy kids home and they leave them here. We didn't sit in the room and think, well, what are we going to do with all these kids that get left up in the north parking lot? No one's going to leave their kids in the back parking lot and say, you're too messy, I'm not taking you home. They're all going to pick them up, hold their hands, cover their car seats in trash bags, and take them home. And hopefully they'll all be smiling as they do it. And this is what God does for us. He knew we couldn't get out of our mess on our own, that we would be tainted by sin, but he looked at us and he said, I've got a plan to clean this up. In order to be in the presence of a holy God, something had to be done. And what God did was give us positional holiness. Positional holiness is what we receive when we surrender our lives to Christ. If the problem is that only the holy can be with the holy, then God's plan was always to make a way for us to be with him. He's the only one who can change our position of unholiness to holiness. He can make what seems to be an incommunicable attribute communicable to us. Now, your position of holiness comes through the protocol of sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. It says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. The solution to the problem that only the holy can be with the holy is that the holy comes to the unholy to make us holy. So God came to the earth in the flesh as Jesus Christ, which verse 19 calls a lamb without blemish or defect. He fulfilled the need for sacrifice. Jesus was the answer to our problem of sin needing to be taken care of. And because he was perfect, perfectly loving, perfectly wise, perfectly just, and perfectly holy, his death on the cross in your place, that means that when you place your faith firmly in him, his holiness becomes your holiness and you receive his Holy Spirit. He came into our masterpiece, perfectly clean and unblemished, and saved us from an empty way of life. His status of holy, his spirit within you, gets credited to you because you are now in Christ. And here's why this matters. If you've surrendered your life to Christ and your hope is in him and his Holy Spirit lives in you and his status gets credited to you, you may have had a bad day today, but that doesn't knock you out of holiness. You grumbled at your kids. You were impatient with the car in front of you turning into church. You slipped into the addiction of your choice. God still looks at you and he says, "All I see is Christ's holiness. You can still be with me." In fact, it may have been a bad week. There may have been 7 days of grumbling at your kids, being crabby with your spouse, omitting details to make yourself look better, snubbing people in a power move, gossiping with a friend. You are still positionally holy. Your status doesn't change. See, this quarter, in and of itself, it doesn't have anything that makes it special. This is a special quarter that is set in a special place for a special purpose because I say it is. Positional holiness is God saying, "You, ordinary human, you are important to me." Now, there's a third type of holiness that flows from our positional holiness. If perfect holiness means only the holy can be with the holy, and positional holiness means the holy comes to the unholy to make us holy, the third type of holiness is about what holy people do. The third type of holiness is called practical holiness. Practical holiness is the ongoing process of becoming more and more like Jesus. We are not merely saved from our sin. We are saved into a new and different kind of life with God's Holy Spirit living in us, where we reflect God's image to the world. The idea of how this whole attribute of holiness works itself out practically in the world through those who've been declared holy by God who is holy. So going back to 1 Peter, verses 15 and 16, says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Practical holiness is living out the command to be holy in all you do. To be holy is to be someone who is in alignment with God. God doesn't say, "Act holy in all that you do." He says to be holy, which means it's something that you do with all of your being. Holiness is taking the good things in life and removing all of the things that make them impure. Being holy is actually working and living that out in the world. It's kind of like using a perfect silver-proof quarter made from refined, pure silver, completely pure and untainted in my Aldi cart. But imagine if someone who was very wise and being holy used their wisdom to lead in their local city council. It would be completely untainted by selfish desire, no inkling of trying to exercise power over others. What would that look like? How would it change the community that that person lived in? How would others in that community respond to them? Now, imagine someone who's incredibly wealthy and they are being holy. And they use their wealth generously. No ego involved, no desire for anything in return. Loving others through meeting needs. Can you imagine that person? Can you imagine how you might think of them? Being holy is not some stifling, restrictive thing. It actually makes all the best things in life better because they are untainted and undiluted by sin. So what would it take to be holy in all that you do? Let's go back to 1 Peter verses 13 and 14. "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Now, older translations of the Bible, they use this phrase, gird up the loins of your mind. Kind of a strange phrase, but the image there is someone taking their long robes and tucking them into their belt to be able to work or to fight or to just move more easily. The Message, which is a reading Bible or a Bible paraphrase, it says, so roll up your sleeves, get your head in the game, be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. So with minds that are alert and fully sober, gird up the loins of your mind. Get your head in the game. What's being holy going to take? What's it going to take? Let's say you told me that you wanted to open a coffee shop. So I would ask you, where are you going to get your coffee beans? Now, you might have an answer to that question, but how about the follow-up questions? If I asked you, how much does a top-of-the-line commercial espresso machine cost? Would you bake your blueberry muffins in-house or buy them from a third party? What software do you want to use for your point-of-sale system? What are you going to do when your assistant manager calls you at 6 a.m. and says they can't come into work? And if you answered those questions passionately, I would believe that you actually want to open a coffee shop. This is called unpacking. If you're in the business world, you may be familiar with it. It's when you take a complex idea and you break it down to gain understanding of the complexities of a concept. So if you want to be holy, you need to ask questions of what it's going to take. You can't just sit there and say, I'm going to be more holy this week. People pursuing holiness ask questions to examine where the impurities in their lives are and how they can submit them to God to clear them away. Now, it could feel overwhelming to pursue holiness in every area of your life all at once. So when unpacking practical holiness, start with one area and plan for it. Ask yourself, what will it take to pursue holiness in this one area? So let's just say you wanted to work on holiness in how you interact with your family. So let's unpack how you're specifically going to do that. You might ask yourself the question, when you sit down to dinner with your family, how are you going to speak to them with kindness? But let's take that further. Let's unpack it a little bit more. How could you start your day with gratitude? Have you prayed for your family on your way home from work? Is there any way you could serve your family? What could you be curious about and ask your family about around the dinner table? And once you've made that plan to pursue holiness in that area, then ask yourself this, am I willing to do it? Because it might sound hard. It might even sound isolating to pursue holiness in a certain area. And likely it sounds life-changing. And since most people don't actually fear change, they fear the loss that comes with change, you might be aware of something you will have to lose or give up in order to pursue holiness. Let me tell you this, the cost of holiness is nothing compared to the cost you will pay for not pursuing holiness. At the end of their life, no one regrets pursuing holiness. Unless you feel defeated by the steps, let me reassure you, you will get to the end of your life and you will find yourself still working on this. We don't arrive at full perfection in a world tainted by sin. So I want to remind you of something. This is hard, but you are secure. Your positional status as holy doesn't change in the daily pursuit of practical holiness. No one gets this in this lifetime. So don't despair. If you find it difficult to pursue holiness, you are not missing something that everyone else got. You're not doing it wrong. You could live to be 110 years old and you will still have things that you're working on. Doesn't surprise us, and it shouldn't surprise you. If you mowed your lawn last Sunday and you told me that you have to mow again today, I'm not gonna say to you, well, why didn't you do it right last week? This is an ongoing process of being holy. not just having holy or acting holy, but continually choosing to ask the hard questions of ourselves and listen to God's Holy Spirit within us so that we can unpack and take action on what it means to be made in God's image in regards to holiness. And here's why it makes a difference. Because holy people make things awesome. Think about it. They do. Holiness takes out all the stuff that ruins everything. Imagine dating someone who isn't always thinking about themselves. When they mess up, they own it and they apologize. They approach the relationship with integrity and respect. They pray with you and for you. They're curious about your life. Imagine having a loved one in long-term care, and each time you leave them, you wonder if they'll be cared for with the kind of love you'd give them or if the staff would cut corners. But in walks a holy person who gives generous and joyful care. You would walk away thinking, I am so glad a holy person is taking care of my mom. Holiness looks like a mom who chooses patience when it would be easier to snap. A student who uses their social media to build others up. A teacher who sees each student as an image bearer and draws out the potential in their students. A businessman who says no to shortcuts because he knows his character matters more than his commission. A teenager who prays for purity in a world saturated with compromise. A retiree who generously gives their time to mentor someone. The person who lives each day, led by the Holy Spirit, trying to reflect a little more of Jesus to the world. This is holiness in action. Not flashy, not showy, but daily, faithful obedience. A lost and dying world does not need you to be better. It needs us all to be awesome. Needs us all to be like Christ so that they would desire to be with him for eternity, because the new heavens and the new earth is just going to be filled with awesome people. And being image-bearing, holy people who pursue holiness in the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be the closest thing that we can give the world now so that they would desire life for eternity later. So here's how you get started. There are four words in verse 14 that I think will help us to explore how to pursue holiness in an area of our lives. Remember, we're going to focus on one area at a time. 1 Peter 1:14, it says, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." So first it says, as obedient children. Now, what do obedient children do? Obedient children listen and they obey. And as children of God, we can trust that the God who is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, he knows more about what we should do than we do. So obeying him would be the logical, awesome thing to do. When our children obey us, they do so because they trust that we have their best interests in heart. They've seen that in us. So in order to be holy, we need to consider where we might need to listen to God and then do what he says, because we've seen that he knows better than we do. So where is God calling you into deeper obedience? Now it says, as obedient children, the verse then says, do not conform. Do not conform. Now, this quarter is stamped with an image that was made on it by pressing it between two dies. I saw it happen at the Mint. The metal conformed to the image of the dies, and it holds the image of George Washington. Now, there's a line that is not often sung in the hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It says, Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in its place. Efface means to erase or remove. So it's saying erase or remove the image of sin and our humanity, and instead stamp the image of God in us. The more we are formed to the image of God, the less comfortable we will feel in the world. What image have you been conformed to? In what ways have you allowed yourself to be shaped more by the world than by Christ? The verse continues, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had. to the evil desires you had. The problem with our desire to be holy is usually that we have a desire that has taken a greater place in our hearts. We immediately think of vices or addictions, but what if it's a different kind of vice? It might be a desire for power or importance. I'm guessing that many of us wake up in the morning thinking of how we might have a little more power, how we might make a little bit more money, how we might have a higher title, thinking about how we could be in more than one place at a time, which can be harmless. We do that sometimes because we really love people, but we do that sometimes. We try to be omnipresent because we want to control things in different areas of our life. It's hard to trust. It's hard to surrender that control. But I would guess that we don't wake up in the morning thinking immediately about how we can be more humble, more caring, more gentle, more pure, more holy. So we ask the question, what desires have taken a greater place in my heart than my desire for God and his holiness? Now, verse 14 ends with, when you lived in ignorance. Maybe you didn't really realize what holiness is until today. Or maybe you were trying to act holy instead of being holy because your understanding of holiness was based in moral behavior. But now you know. And being alert requires shedding ignorance. So there is a truth about God's holiness, or your identity in Christ that you have forgotten, ignored, or failed to live in light of? So we're going to actually take some time right now. This is work between you and God. We're going to take time in this space to consider those four questions related to those phrases. Now, they are also printed in your weekly welcome. They're printed in the app, in the questions in the app. We're also going to put them up here on the screen. And I would encourage you, as we take this time, you may want to write a few things down. I would also encourage you to share your responses with someone, an accountability partner, a friend, a spouse, so that you have someone else who is trying to be holy that is being holy alongside of you. So I'm going to read these four questions before we go into a time to silently consider our responses to them. Obey. In what area of my life is God calling me into deeper obedience? Conform. In what ways have I allowed myself to be shaped more by the world than by Christ? Desire. What desires have taken a greater place in my heart than a desire for God and his holiness? Ignorance. Is there a truth about God's holiness or about my identity in Christ that I have ignored, forgotten, or failed to live in light of? Let's silently consider those now. Now, will you pray this prayer of confession with me? O holy God, you dwell in unapproachable light. You are not tainted by shadow or sin, and yet you draw near to those who tremble and trust. We do not come cloaked in pretense, for you know us already. Our failings are not hidden. Our wanderings are not news to you. We bring our sin plainly, naming it as what it is, a falling short of your holiness, a betrayal of your love. But we do not bring it in despair, for you have not asked us to cleanse ourselves before coming, but to come that we might be cleansed. You have robed us in righteousness not our own, and you have called us holy because Christ is holy and his life is now ours. O Spirit of the living God, stir in us a longing to walk in the holiness we have already received. Let us not grow numb to grace or apathetic to sin, but let the wonder of our cleansing fuel our obedience. Strengthen us in the journey of becoming what you have already declared us to be, holy. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. After sermons, we like to ask, what was a key takeaway from this message? What will you put into practice from this study of God's Word? At our website, ccclife.org, you can find more discussion questions, a prayer wall to post requests and pray for others, and where you can give to Christ Community Church. If you enjoyed this message, you can subscribe and share it with friends or on your socials. Again, thanks for listening.